Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. We're going to continue to see how Jesus is our great high priest. And today, we're actually going to get back into how and why he is our great high priest. As you know, for the last chapter and a half, the author took a pause to warn the Hebrew church. And then now, he's actually back into what he wants to talk about. Melchizedek. And how Christ resembles Melchizedek, or actually it's how Melchizedek resembles Christ. So let's begin by reading Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, speaking of Melchizedek, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to gather here this morning and to worship you. And God, as we come to this passage in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10 here, God, I just pray that you will help us to see the goodness of you here, Lord. To see how great Jesus is. How he is far more superior than any other high priest there is. God, help us to see and know who Melchizedek is. And how he resembles Christ. Dear God, we pray that you just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to be able to see, hear, and know. And open our hearts to believe your word this morning. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek? This is our question to be answered today. In all of the Bible, Melchizedek is mentioned in four different passages. Four different passages. He's mentioned in the Old Testament twice, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 through 20. He's mentioned in Psalm chapter 110, verse 4, which is a prophecy of Jesus and how Jesus would be after the order of Melchizedek. And we also see in the New Testament two other times where Melchizedek is mentioned. And they both come here in the letter of Hebrews. Chapter 5, we saw the beginning, the first part of Arthur talking about Melchizedek. And now in chapter 7, and continuing to chapter 10, we're going to see Melchizedek. These are the only four times the name of Melchizedek is brought up. Honestly, if it wasn't for the Hebrews letter, Melchizedek would probably be one of those forgotten people in the Bible. Because he just wouldn't be known. He would go largely unnoticed. But the author here, he brings Melchizedek into the picture. And he's ultimately using him to explain how great Jesus is. To explain that Jesus is greater than the Old Testament Levitical priest. Jesus is greater and Jesus is superior has been a theme of the whole book of Hebrews all this time. Jesus is greater than the prophets. Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Joshua. And now the author is proclaiming that Jesus is greater than the Levitical priest. And he does so through the use of Melchizedek. And the author ultimately has a purpose in doing this. He actually tells us in chapter 8, verse 1 through 2, what his main point in bringing Melchizedek into this picture is. Listen to what he says in chapter 8. We're going to get there eventually, but this helps us understand the main point of what we're learning today. Now, the point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. This is the main point of everything the author is trying to teach us from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 10. He is teaching us that we have a greater high priest in Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus, as we learned last week, has gone behind the curtain and is in the very presence of God, seated at his right hand on the throne of majesty. Church, this is why the sermon series has been titled, Jesus is the Great High Priest. Because he is greater than all those Old Testament priests. Greater than all of them combined and put together. He has done what all of them couldn't do. And as we continue to progress forward in the book of Hebrews, this will all be made known to us. And today we finally get to the explanation of what the author of Hebrews said was hard to explain due to the Hebrew church being dull of hearing in chapter 5, verse 11. You may remember that passage, how they were sluggish of hearing. And after warning the Hebrew church, encouraging the Hebrew church, and assuring the Hebrew church of the salvation they have in Jesus, he finally gets to get back and expound on the importance of Melchizedek. You ever tell a story and then you have to take a pause and explain something and then you're like, you finally get back to what you really wanted to talk about? That's what's happening here. He took a moment and now he's back to what he really, really wants to talk about. And so our focus today is on who Melchizedek is and how he is like the Son of God, Jesus. And my hope for you today is that you will continue to see Jesus for who he is and how great he is. How he is the one who can bring peace to you and give peace to you in your life. How he's the one who makes you righteous and how he is the one who will forever be our high priest, mediating for us. Do you have the peace of Jesus in your life? When things aren't peaceable, do you go to the one who gives peace? Have you been made righteous through the blood of Jesus? When you fail to live righteous, do you run to the one who is righteous? When you make a mistake, when you sin, do you remember that you have grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, the great high priest and mediator? Church, this morning, it is my prayer that by learning about Melchizedek, you will see the greatness of Jesus and fall in love with Jesus all the more for who He is and what He has accomplished for you. So in our sermon today, we're going to expound and see three answers to who Melchizedek is. Three answers to see who Melchizedek is. And the first answer we have is that Melchizedek is a king. He is a king. We see in our passage this morning in verse 2, two expressions of how Melchizedek is a king. And the first expression that we see is that by translation of Melchizedek's name, he is King of Righteousness. I think I may have verse 2. I'm going to put verse 2 up there. I'm not going to tell you to look at it, but it's there for your reference to check me if that makes sense. You see there, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And what this means, to kind of help us remember in the Old Testament, I'm going to back up here just for a second, but help us to remember in the Old Testament, names meant something then. They all had some sort of translation, somehow, some way. And what the author is saying here, with this case of Melchizedek, his name means that he is King of Righteousness. It translates to that. And ultimately means that he was a righteous ruler. He was a righteous king. Another way to understand it would be to say that he was just in who he was. He was a just ruler, a just judge of his country. He likely had just rules and laws, and he likely judged in a just and righteous way. This is the expectation that we have here by way of his name. But we also see the second expression here, King of Peace. We see in verse 2 here, he was the king of Salem. And the word Salem here can also be understood as peace. And so the author has so politely pointed it out to us by saying that Melchizedek is King of Peace. And we actually see this played out in Genesis chapter 14 as we did not go to war. In Genesis chapter 14, we see the War of the Kings. But Melchizedek is nowhere to be seen at these wars that are taking place. He wasn't involved in that war. He wasn't included in that war. There was peace in his land and there was no fighting. And he didn't go fighting others in their land. His kingdom was one of peace. As I stated earlier, there isn't much information on Melchizedek. There isn't much. There's not a whole lot. It's just these four references. So we're just going to have to live with knowing that he was a king of righteousness and a king of peace. But that isn't all that the author wants us to know here. The author is trying to point out something. He's trying to get you, to get his audience, to connect Melchizedek to Jesus. And I hope that right now your mind is putting together that Jesus too is a King of Righteousness and that Jesus too is a King of Peace. Melchizedek points us forward to who Jesus is. We saw in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 that the Son, Jesus, loved righteousness and hated wickedness. We know that Jesus was sinless and perfect because we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, for our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus was righteous. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was perfect. He was a righteous king. He's the righteous king. He will always be the just king and he will judge justly. And there will be a day that comes where the judge, Jesus, will righteously judge every single one of us. But there is good news. Just as I have just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, those that believe in the righteous King will be made righteous too. Because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus that washes us clean. His righteousness is imputed into those who believe. So church, when you make a mistake, when you sin against the holy God, run to Jesus, the King of righteousness. Because He is your righteousness. The end of chapter 4 and verse 16, we learn that we can boldly and with confidence approach the throne of grace and we will receive mercy. And we will receive that mercy because the blood of the righteous King has washed over us and Jesus' righteousness has been put inside of us. Put inside those who believe. So when you fail, when you make a mistake, when you sin, when you struggle to live holy and righteous, run to Jesus and ask Him for help because He is your hope. He is our hope. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, continuing here, says this, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace." The righteous King, guess what He brings? Peace. The result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. Church, as the righteous King, Jesus brings and gives peace because He also is the King of peace. And the spirit of Christmas and it being here and just over a month away, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And let's all read that last part together. Prince of Peace. Jesus is the King of Peace. And we are able as Christians to have that peace in our hearts because it is an effect of the righteousness that we have in Jesus and who He is and what He has done for us. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And I love even more what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Church, Jesus is the one who gives peace. Jesus is the one who brings peace. And our hearts do not have to be troubled because we have the peace of God in our hearts through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even more so, the relationship, the rocky and messy relationship of sin that we had before salvation with God has been made peaceful through Jesus Christ. Jesus has brought peace. When your heart is troubled, church, when you're afraid, when you have anxiety, when you are worried and concerned, when you're not at peace, who do you run to? Are you running to others? Are you running to addictions? Are you running to possessions and more things? Are you running away? Or are you running to the King of Peace? Jesus Christ. Church, when you feel as if you've lost all peace in your life, or even just a little bit of peace, guess what? Here's what I want you to know. Run to the King of Peace. And He will give you peace. To move forward in our answers of who Melchizedek is, we see secondly that he is a priest. He is a priest of the Most High God. We read in verse 1 that he is the priest of the Most High God who met Abraham on his return from the slaughter of kings, which we see in Genesis chapter 14, and that Melchizedek blessed him. And so there's two things that I'd just like to point out here. The first is that the author is signifying that Melchizedek was truly a priest. He was truly a priest of the Most High God. With there not being so much information, very little information about Melchizedek, and it being many, many years prior to the establishment of the Aaronic priest and the Levitical priest, they want to ensure that people know he was truly a priest. Why would this be? Why would someone question it? Well, Melchizedek is actually the very first person in the Bible mentioned, noted to be a priest. In case you didn't know that, that's a little fact. No one before Melchizedek was ever mentioned as a priest. We see Abraham acting as a priest in some ways. He built an altar and he sacrificed the ram after the story of Isaac. You remember Isaac on the altar there? He's got his knife up and the Lord says, "Stop, stop, Abraham, stop." And he stops and there's a ram in a thicket. Abraham gets that ram and he sacrifices the ram. Melchizedek is the first one mentioned. And he actually did priestly things. We see specifically that he blessed Abraham. And this leads us to the second thing that I'd like to point out, and that is the relationship between Melchizedek and Abraham. This relationship from verse 4 to verse 10 is to show that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham in the Levitical priest. It is the thrust of the passage that the author is really wanting his audience, the Hebrew church, to understand. It's what he wants us to know today. If you read verse 4 here, it says, "See how great this man was. See how great Melchizedek was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch," it's an important word there, "gave a tenth of the spoils." As a priest, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. An important role of the priest was to bless. We see Aaron, a priest in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 through 23, bless the people of Israel. But in this passage, after Abraham has just gone to war and won, defeated all those other kings, Melchizedek blesses him. So we read in verse 7, "The lesser is blessed by the greater." The author is making the point here that because Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. And in response, Abraham gives a tenth of all the choicest spoils of the war to Melchizedek. And this tenth from the spoils of war, I don't think we can fathom how much it is. Because it was an insurmountable amount of stuff, of things that Abraham gave to Melchizedek. It was a massive amount, and it was only a tenth that Abraham was paying Melchizedek for his priestly duty of blessing him. And the author is making the point here that because Abraham, the patriarch, the father of many nations, the one that had been given the promise, gave a tenth to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is greater because of that. Then the author goes even farther and says, "Hey, you remember how those Levitical priests received a tenth from the people, from the brothers? Well, guess what? Levi, who is a descendant of Abraham, who's kind of the father of the Levitical priest." Listen to what he says in verse 9 and 10 about Levi. Oh, man. There it is. "One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him." The author is making the claim here that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham because he blessed him. Because Abraham gave him a tenth. And he's also making the claim that Melchizedek is greater than the Levitical priest because Levi, through his great-great-great-grandfather, I think, gave, through Abraham, so to speak, gave tithes to Melchizedek. He's saying Levi paid Melchizedek. That's what he's saying here. And this takes us back to verse 4. I don't have it there. I forgot to put it in. Forgive me. Observe how great this man Melchizedek was. Melchizedek, the author is proving to us, is greater than Abraham. Did you know that nowhere else in the Bible, other than Jesus, is there a person mentioned that is a king and a priest? Melchizedek was a king priest. And there is nowhere else. No one else could do that. No one else could do the priestly duty. Only the priest could do that. As a matter of fact, we see King Uzziah try to go into the temple and perform priestly duties. And guess what happens? The Lord strikes him down with leprosy, removes him from his kingship, and he eventually dies. Melchizedek is a foreshadowing of Jesus, who is also the what? Priest King. And so therefore we see now in our third answer that Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. He resembles the Son of God. Let me read verse 3 again. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having become... He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. He continues forever. Continues a priest forever. It matters that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham because it shows the Hebrew church and us that Melchizedek resembles Jesus. And notice that. Notice that it doesn't say that Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. Notice that it says Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. Christ, the Son of God, came down to earth many, many, many years later after Melchizedek. So most of the time, we would say that somebody looks like or resembles the person who is what? Older than them, right? You look like your father. You look like your mother because they're older, right? But the author of Hebrews does the opposite here. He says that Melchizedek, the older one, the one from many years ago, resembles the Son of God. And he does this to show that Jesus is greater. That Jesus is actually greater than Melchizedek. That Jesus is greater than the Levitical priest. But how does Melchizedek resemble Jesus? I ultimately give you two answers. They are without genealogy. What does this mean? Well, Melchizedek has no genealogy at all. None. We don't see it anywhere in the Bible. He has no father. He has no mother. He has no genealogy. He just comes into the picture in Genesis chapter 14 and then he just leaves. He enters and he exits. There's not a description given about who his dad was, who his mom was. There's not even a description that tells us when he became and when he ended. But let's talk about Jesus for a moment. So you may be thinking, well, doesn't Jesus have a genealogy? You're right. Jesus does have a genealogy. He has a very, very long genealogy. But that is not the point here. The point is that Jesus has no direct genealogy that traces back to the tribe of Levi. Jesus isn't a descendant of Levi. He's a descendant of the tribe of Judah. And thus, Jesus would not be a Levitical priest. And the same is true about Melchizedek. He was not a Levite, was he? No, he wasn't. Why? Because he came long before the Levites. As a matter of fact, Levi, through Abraham, paid him tithes, as we read earlier. This is why we see in verse 20 of chapter 6 that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And all this is to show the Hebrew church, and to even to show us this morning, that Jesus is greater. That Jesus is greater, amen? He can do more, He can accomplish, He can fully atone for sins. He only atoned for sins once. Whereas all those Levitical priests, guess what? They had to go back. They had to keep atoning and keep atoning and keep atoning. But Jesus did it once and for all. Secondly, we see that they remain a priest forever. It is noted in verse 3 that Melchizedek has no beginning of days and no end of life. Now this is interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. It actually brings up so many questions. Like, does this mean that Melchizedek never died? Nope. The point here is that because we have no information, because we have no genealogy, and because Melchizedek just shows up out of the blue and then disappears into the abyss in Genesis chapter 14, it feels as if he has no beginning and no end. That's what it feels like, right? And so, church, I believe that Melchizedek was a historical figure. I believe that he was not a heavenly being. I don't believe that he was Jesus. I believe that he was truly a historical man that was named Melchizedek. And he was the king of Salem, and he was the priest of the Most High God. If it was Jesus then, if Melchizedek was Jesus, why does the text teach us that Melchizedek resembled Jesus or was like Jesus? So I believe Melchizedek has a day in which he was born. It's just not written. I believe that Melchizedek has a day in which he died. It's just not written. I believe that Melchizedek had a father and a mother. It's just not written here. But because this scripture doesn't give us that information, it seems as if he lives on forever. It seems as if he continues as a priest forever. But church, while it may seem like Melchizedek continues as a priest forever, the one whom he resembles actually does. Jesus, in case you don't know, is an eternal being. He is eternally past and he is eternally into the future. Jesus was before the foundation of the world and he will continue to be for eternity. And even though he died on the cross, guess what he did? Guess what Jesus did on the third day? He rose from the grave, overcoming sin and death. Jesus will never, ever stop being our priest. He has ascended to the throne of heaven, and he is there in the presence of God, interceding, mediating for us this morning, for all the days of our lives. And he will be doing so forever into eternity. Praise God today that we have a great high priest that continues forever. And we can rest assured that our salvation, that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, guess what? It is eternal. Praise God today that we have a great high priest that continues forever. And this high priest was a high priest that we can boldly and confidently draw near to and trust that we will receive grace and mercy, as chapter 4, verse 16 teaches. This morning, are you fully trusting that Jesus is greater? That Jesus has fully atoned for your sins? Fully paid the price for your sins? Are you trusting that this morning? In our sermon today, we've seen three answers to who Melchizedek is. Melchizedek is a king. He's a king of righteousness and a king of peace. And this ultimately points us forward to Jesus, who is also king of righteousness and king of peace. Melchizedek is a priest of the Most High God. He truly was a priest, and he truly was a priest after the one and only true God. And as a priest, he blessed Abraham and received a tenth from Abraham, implying that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. And then finally, we saw that Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. They both have no direct genealogy that traces back to the Levitical priest. Melchizedek appears to be like Christ, who has no beginning and no end, but Christ. Christ is the one who continues as our high priest eternally. Church, I hope by now you know who Melchizedek is. And I hope even more you are seeing how Melchizedek is pointing forward to Jesus. Church, remember that Jesus is your King of righteousness. Remember that He is your King of peace. And remember that He is your priest that continues forever. And this morning, maybe Jesus isn't the king of your life. He isn't your righteousness, and He isn't your peace. And He's not mediating for you on your behalf as a priest. I want you to know that this morning that can change for you. That you can be made righteous like Jesus. That you can have the peace of God in your heart. The Bible teaches that all you must do is respond by believing in who Jesus is and what He has accomplished and repent of your sins. Simple as that. So this morning, if you would like to respond by believing in Jesus and trusting in Him as Savior and Lord and repenting of your sins, I want you to know you can do that right now in this very moment. But if you would like to know more, if you would like to talk to me about it, or if you'd like to talk to somebody about it, I want to encourage you to do so. I want to encourage you to do so. And if this morning, if you are making a decision to follow Jesus, I'd love to have a conversation about you, come to have a conversation with you about what it means to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Isn't Jesus great? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much for Jesus, how great He is, how awesome He is, how superior He is to the Levitical priest, how superior He is to Melchizedek, and how Melchizedek resembles Jesus. God, this morning I just pray that You will help us to remember that Jesus is our King of righteousness, that Jesus is our King of peace. When we fail, when we make a mistake, we will remember that we are righteous because of Jesus. And when we don't have peace in our heart, when we have rough waters in our lives, and the wind's blowing, we're getting knocked around, that we will remember that Jesus is our King of peace. And we will run to Him for peace. Because He gives peace. And God, I pray that we will remember that Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that is interceding. He's the one that is mediating for us and our sin and our salvation in the very presence of God. Help us to remember that. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.